Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Patently Obvious here at Car Talk Plaza.
Is that patently or patently?
Well, you know, I don't know. Let's say patently obvious.
it's more sophisticated, you know.
Yes. we'll say patently obvious.
All right. And this is... I'm almost embarrassed to do this.
You've never been embarrassed.
Okay, I'm not. Here's a new study from Norway.
Wait, before you start, are we going to lose our three Norwegian listeners?
No, we might lose.
Because we are on NPR, Norwegian Public Radio.
That's what NPR means?
Well...
I never knew that.
In some places. Are we going to lose those listeners?
No.
Okay.
We might lose one of the hosts.
Okay. Oh. Okay, go ahead.
Older siblings smarter, Norwegian study shows.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was going to just pull out the pieces that were the most interesting, but I'm just going to read it to you.
No, go ahead. I can take it.
Oslo, Reuters. Firstborn children in Norway get better education and as adults are more successful in the job market than younger siblings, a Norwegian U.S. study showed. They found that younger siblings tend to get less schooling than their elders and end up with lower pay on average and were more likely to be in part-time work.
Well, that's interesting because you've always been engaged in part-time work, even though you're the older brother.
And
more education, but you know less.
I thought you were... I started to say that you had more education because you were the class of 70, 71, and 72.
Could be argued, yeah.
And then I realized I had all those other degrees.
Yeah, the nth degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Firstborn children seem to learn from teaching their younger siblings, contrary to common notion that younger children benefit by learning from their elders.
How much can you learn from being tied up every day?
You can learn to untie knots.
I don't know.
Behind your back. You learned pretty good.
I did learn well. Oh, boy. Anyway, if you want to learn something from us, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is May from Beltsville, Maryland.
Beltsville?
Mm-hmm.
This is where they make belts?
No, that's where they give you a belt if you're not nice.
Okay, we'll be nice.
Oh, you take a couple of belts before you go to work.
And then you don't care if you're late. Anyway, what's going on, May?
Well, I have a Cadillac STS 96. And we were out shopping at the mall, which was probably the first mistake. But all of a sudden, when we went to turn left into a parking space, we had no power steering on the left. Now, we had power steering on the right, but we had none on the left.
Oh, so if you took a right turn, it was easy, but if you took a left turn,
yeah,
it was very hard to steer.
Now, if you were going about 15 to 20 miles an hour, it wasn't so bad going around a turn, but if you wanted to get into a parking space where you were braking and turning at the same time, it was a no-go.
Hmm. However, if you were moving even a little bit, you noticed no significant difference.
No, when you difference. Were moving a little bit, it was still very stiff to steer.
It was stiff to steer in the left direction only?
In the left direction only, yes, sir.
But easier to steer always to the... So the right, you noticed no degradation in the steering, regardless of the speed.
Correct.
Did you take it to the shop?
Well, we have an appointment to take it to the shop tomorrow. I haven't been able to drive the car since then.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what they're going to tell you...
You're not going to like this.
No. In fact, I won't tell you. Why should I give you... Why ruin your day?
Well, yeah, why should you worry about it today and tomorrow? Tomorrow, they'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
And they'll tell you how much it's going to cost, and you'll ruin your day tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, we've already ruined your day by telling you her tomorrow's going to be ruined, so we'll tell you what it is. We think you need a rack and pinion.
Rack and pinion.
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
That's not nice.
No, you're
right.
Oh,
this is going to be very, very expensive.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have any choice. You have to fix it.
Okay.
But it might be fixable. I don't think it necessarily has to be replaced.
Uh-huh.
My brother thinks it necessarily has to be replaced.
Yeah.
Could it be that the orifice from the fluid is maybe
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if that were true?
Well, it's entirely possible that one of the passages in the rack is plugged up, but you know what? That's like a 1 in 1,000 chance.
Oh, yeah, okay. If that happens, then you have truly led a wonderful, clean life.
Yeah, I mean, if they suggest that they flush it out first and try to get it to work, you can
yeah,
try that.
Yeah, tell them yes, absolutely.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think they're going to recommend a new rack.
Okay.
So how long have you been in this country, May?
Since 1962.
So you left the old sod, eh?
I left the old sod, yes.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I really wanted to travel, and I met an American girl on a bus tour, and she sponsored me to come over here, and here I am.
Well, yeah, most people travel and they go back home when they're done, but you decided to make this your home.
No, this is my home now, yes.
Yeah.
I like it here.
Yeah, well, it's a nice place to like.
Yes, it is.
And you might not like it when you have to pay $1,000. Never mind. To get your
May,
Cadillac fixed.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Tom up in Utica.
Hi, Tom.
Utica, New York.
Utica, New York.
What's up?
Well, I got a 93 Taurus with an oil problem. About a couple of weeks ago, this thing, the oil light started to go on. Sometimes it would flash and then go off. Sometimes it would stay on. No real pattern. And my wife and I both thought at the same time, that simultaneous spousal thought,
yeah,
bad oil pressure. So I called the dealer, sight unseen, over the phone. They said 185,000 miles, you need a new engine, which was a great diagnosis over the phone.
They're probably right.
Yeah.
That's what we would do over
the phone.
They
were wondering how you got to 185K.
This is not going well.
No.
All right, so I brought it in. They did a test. Sure enough, they said you have no oil pressure, but we priced out a new rebuilt engine for you.
Okay.
So at work, I tell the boys at work, and they say to me, you know, put in a can of STP and a heavier grade oil. You'll build up enough pressure. You'll be fine. So I'm thinking somebody here's a genius. Somebody here's a quack. And I got to go to the guys who can beautifully straddle the line between genius and crack.
Because that's we're genius quacks.
Because we're one of each, too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal.
Go ahead. He'll tell you the deal.
I'm going to tell you the whole deal here.
Yeah.
You should absolutely put in a heavier oil and a couple of cans of STP.
Okay.
And then carry with you a screwdriver.
A screwdriver?
Yeah. So you can take the plates off when the engine seizes by the side of the road.
Well, it's not like...
No, but you'll get some time out of it. You will get some time out of it. But there's nothing that's going to change to make the oil pressure come back.
What are your hopes and aspirations?
What did you want us to say?
What I would have loved to have known is if a simple oil, maybe a new oil pump.
No, I mean, if you have low oil pressure.
Yes.
It derives from one of at least two sources that I can think of immediately. One is the oil pump, and one is that all the bearings are worn out.
Oh, that's what they said.
The main...
But they didn't look.
No.
They didn't look.
All right, here's what you do.
Okay.
Take it to a gas station or, you know, a regular repair shop that's not as affiliated with Ford.
Right.
And tell them that you want them to drop the pan.
Okay.
Which is not that hard to do on this
car. Similar to dropping trowel.
We'd freeze up here if we did that.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they drop the pan, what they're going to be able to then do is take off some of the main bearing and connecting bearing caps.
Right.
They can see if they've been ruined by lack of lubrication, because if you do have low oil pressure, regardless of the cause, if the bearings have been ruined, then the engine is toast.
Right.
But if they haven't been ruined, and they can check, you can put in a new oil pump, and you might be lucky.
Really?
Well, you might be lucky for a year, 2 years.
You might be. I mean, the other guys who say you need an engine, that's kind of the no-brainer solution to it.
Yeah.
If you were down in Mexico, they wouldn't be putting in any stinking engine in your car. They'd be doing exactly what my brother just described.
Okay.
And you're going to do whatever it takes to keep the thing running.
That's exactly what I got to do.
And this might cost you $500 as opposed to, what was the quote they gave you at the dealer?
$3,000. For a rebuilt.
Not bad.
No, gee, I'd go for that. No, that isn't bad.
That isn't bad, no.
All right.
And you can always do that.
It's a 93 vehicle.
I understand that. Right. And you have 185,000 miles. Were you hoping to get to two?
Well, yeah, we'd turn it over to two, and then we'd have a big party.
Why don't you just have the party?
Well,
spend the $3,000 on the party.
We might end up doing that.
Well, you might. I would say it's worth the chance. I'd have the guys take the pan down.
Right.
And if they say it's hopeless, then you've got to decide if you want to spend the $3,000. If not, you just junk it.
Okay. I mean, this thing was it was running beautifully until all of a sudden this light starts blinking.
Well, I'm gonna suggest that the pump's gonna fix it.
Really?
That would be great.
That's what you wanted.
Would be great.
Isn't that what you wanted to hear?
That's what I was hoping.
We want to please the callers.
You're pleasing me if this is the case.
I'm on your side, Tom.
I'm with you.
Good luck, Tom.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave calling from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I have a commuting problem. I'm a slugger.
Uh-huh.
I'm one of those slugs that gets in somebody else's car. So for 25 miles a day, I'm putting my life in someone else's hands.
Yeah.
And you'll probably find this hard to believe that some of these folks don't know how to operate their cars correctly. It's like they didn't read the owner's manual.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
There's a bunch of etiquette that goes along with this slugging. You're not supposed to talk unless spoken to first. So I need to know, what's the proper way to tell these drivers that, I don't even know how to operate their cars correctly?
Yeah, we should explain to other people who are listening, the four other people who are listening, what you're doing. You are
standing by the side of the road.
Yeah.
And you're getting picked up so someone can ride in the HOV lane or the silver lane or whatever they call it where in your neck of the woods, which is the carpool lane.
Yes, it is.
So you're just a... You may get picked up by a different person every day.
Most of the time, it is a different person.
And as such, you get to see how people drive their cars and operate their cars, and you're appalled at what morons are out there.
Well, like what kinds of things?
Well, some of my favorites are that when drivers can't defog their windows on a rainy day because they keep blowing that recirculated air back on the windshield,
mm-hmm.
and it just gets foggier and foggier in the whole car, and they can't figure it out.
So you think that would be a breach of etiquette? To say, by the way, is there ways to do it? I mean, you could say, what are you, nuts? Or you could say, I discovered something interesting because my car used to do the same thing. And if you put it on outside air, it will defog your window. And we get calls, for example, all the time about that. And so, there's a way to tell somebody so that you don't appear to be attacking them.
Without dope slapping them.
You could dope slap, too. So what else do they do that you consider difficult to correct them about?
I got into a late model Cadillac the other day,
uh-huh.
and the driver, of course, has an automatic transmission, and he keeps dropping the thing out of overdrive into drive whenever he slows down about 10 miles an hour. So you go from 75 to 65, and he drops the gear shift down. I'm thinking, dude, why didn't you just buy yourself an automatic or a manual transmission?
Because it wasn't offered on this car. Yeah, but that's not endangering anybody.
Okay.
Anything else?
Another cool one I had was people constantly oversteering, especially in the SUVs with the big tires on them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You get the right rocking motion going, and they're all seasick in the car by the time we got to work.
Well, the best thing to do in that situation is just to barf on somebody. that'll drive the message home. Say, oh, man,
And one of the rules is you're not supposed to roll down the windows unless you get permission to do that, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You don't touch anything in the car. You sit down. You say thank you. When you shut up unless otherwise spoken to by the driver.
And if you were to breach etiquette here by saying something out of turn, what's the penalty?
To lose?
Or you get glared at or sometimes.
Sure, but you're never going to see this guy again.
Well.
Have you ever been taken in somebody's car that you've seen before?
Yes. Yes, I have. Because you
there goes up, that theory.
you stand at the road at the same time of the day, so you end up riding with these guys.
Here's what I would do, Dave.
Okay.
I would do whatever you think is best. If you want to open your mouth, open your mouth. If you think they're doing something wrong, speak up. If they don't like it, tough. They can always decide when they see you next time to pass on you and take the next person.
That's right.
But if you think someone's doing something that is, well, first of all, someone's not being able to see out of an undefrosted window.
That's dangerous.
It's driving dangerously, and it's your responsibility to say something. And you can say, look, I know I'm not supposed to speak unless spoken to, but I can't help myself.
You're being a moron.
Or just raise your hand and say, permission to speak?
Or permission to press this little button up here?
Yeah. But speak up. You'll be taking the bus to work pretty soon.
Oh, we know you.
Yeah. You'll get to say, oh, no, not that Dave. Well, I think see how far you can carry this thing. I mean, I'd like to see it to get to the point where nobody will pick you up.
No. I need to get to work.
Good luck, Dave.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Have a good
Chill
day.
Out, man. Don't worry. It ain't that bad. See you later. Bye-bye. Okay, look, I hesitate to ask you this because I get disappointed every week when I ask you. But
You do.
But I have a funny feeling you're going to rise to the occasion.
Well.
No, I'm wrong, huh?
You might just be surprised.
All right.
Ask me.
What's my Social Security number? No. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Absolutely not.
I didn't think so. Well, it was of historic proportions.
Ah.
It was about two inventions, and we'll have the answer along with more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
In 26, they laid that asphalt down. A road was born between the mountains and the town. Long before progress built ahead of steam, there were mountains tall, rivers they were clean, and you could drive that road for miles and never see another soul meandering. The timber all the way to New Orleans.
And even though Russian roulette players offer to go twice in a row whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which was quite interesting.
Well, I'm going to restate it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of two inventions from long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of them has thousands of moving parts.
Yeah.
That might be the obfuscated, unclarified part, but I'm not sure. You'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
The other has one part, and it doesn't move.
And they both do the same thing.
Exactly. They both do the same thing.
Or at least did the same thing.
Well, they still do. I mean, if you had these in front of you,
they would still do the same
thing. They would still do what they did.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with personal hygiene. That was Dougie's suggestion.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yes.
Is fire. No.
No.
And the
no,
other
that
one.
That wasn't an invention.
The other
fire
one
was
a Duracell.
As electrons. Well, you know, you're kind of on the right track, but here's what they are. Both of them measure something.
Both of them measure something.
And what they measure is the passage of time. One is the sand glass, which has thousands of grains of sand that move. And the other one is the sundial. Do they not? And has no moving parts.
No moving parts.
It sits there. The sun moves, but the sundial doesn't. And both of them measure the passage of time.
Wow.
And one has thousands of moving parts.
That's good.
Using the term parts kind of loosely, but what else would you call them?
Oh, I mean, that sundial is sitting there not doing anything.
And ain't doing squat.
Ain't doing squat is right. Excellent.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah. The winner this week is Robert Scott from Ypsilanti, Michigan. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Robert's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our latest book called Ask, Click, and Clack.
Now, this is a book in which we try to address common questions like, should I get an extended warranty? What triggers the check engine light? And what's the plural of Lexus?
I would say Lexi. One Lexus, two Lexi.
Oh, really? It's not Lexera, like opera?
I guess we should read the book.
Maybe so. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up later, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have a car question, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Elizabeth. I'm from Brooklyn.
Hi, Elizabeth from Brooklyn. What's going on? How can we help you?
Oh, gosh. I have this kind of silly problem with the car. Around New Year's, I was in the Bronx, and I got a flat tire. And a cop directed me to a little tire fix-it shop, and they pulled out three screws or nails from the tire.
Mm-hmm.
And they also showed me a bubble on the side of the tire. And they said, oh, that's really bad. You got to get a new tire on this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was late. I had two kids in the car, and I was just like, you know what, can I get back to Brooklyn on this? And they said, sure, and I figured I'd take care of it later. Well,
so they fixed the nail, or they just put air in it?
No, they pulled out the nails and put in plugs.
Okay, okay.
And put air in it and put it back on the car.
Yeah. Well, that was good.
Yeah, but they were saying the bubble, which was about the size of a half dollar, something like that. That, they said, was really bad.
That is really bad.
It is.
Well, it's kind of bad, yeah.
Well, since then, I've driven to
Key West, right?
Gap at least twice back and forth, and I just came back from Vermont a week ago. So it seems to be holding up.
Well, I mean, tires often have deformities in their sidewalls.
Right.
And it's often the case that, you know, these deformities don't lead to any structural impairment. But
to be riding on the highway at 60 or 70 miles an hour with that
thing, try 80.
No, you're taking your life in your hands and the lives of whoever's in your car.
And whoever else is on the road.
Yeah.
Think about that. I mean, it's bad enough when things happen about which you have no control.
Mm-hmm.
But you have absolute control over this. You can replace that tire.
Okay.
I mean, my guess is that these tires are not brand new.
No.
And if they aren't brand new, then they have 40 or 50,000 miles on them. It's no hardship to throw them away. You're going to need new tires soon anyway.
Okay.
And you got right? that cute little baby in the background?
Yeah.
You're doing 80 with that kid in the car?
Oh,
that's because they're making so much noise, they're driving you crazy. You just want to get there.
We got to get there fast.
Yeah.
No, okay. Don't fool around.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and if you buy...
And they're going to tell you to buy two tires and do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buy some new tires because a blowout at high speed is a pretty scary thing.
I don't know if you've ever had one, but it is terrifying.
Yeah, my brother's had a few. I pull up next to him and shoot out one of his tires from time to time just to see if his reflexes are still there.
Teach me a lesson.
Yes, Jim.
This is no joke.
Okay. Well, I'll do it before we go back to Vermont next week.
Promise?
Promise.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye. Here, Jim, say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
How do people know that we're not fooling around?
Someone asked me that the other day.
When we say this is serious, does anyone take us seriously?
Well, it's
hard. They just say there's a couple of guys making jokes. We're not making jokes.
It's hard to say take this seriously and then to laugh. See, you can't laugh.
You can't.
Try not laughing.
I can't.
That's what I thought.
You know whose fault it is? Annette Scotty. Remember Annette Scotty?
I do remember Annette Scotty.
Steve Scotty's sister, now married to Tony Mazzuri.
Yeah.
It was her fault because she wrote in my high school yearbook, "Don't ever forget how to laugh."
Oh, you haven't.
I haven't.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. My name is Scott. I'm from Minneapolis, and I'm calling via Iowa City.
Hi, Scott. Are you in the Witness Protection Program?
No, I'm doing the mother of all student commutes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? How far is that?
It's about 300 miles.
You do it every day?
No. My car in Minneapolis, and I travel back and forth primarily on weekends.
Oh, not bad. So what's going on, Scott?
Well, my wife has been kind of browbeating me into calling me. I did kind of a bonehead thing, and she doesn't, I think, want to be right so much as she wants to hear you guys make fun of me, but I poured...
We would never do that.
Oh, I'm sure. I poured about half a gallon of the ultra-low temperature windshield washer fluid into what I discovered a couple of days later was actually my coolant reservoir.
You dope!
Really?
Jeez.
Yeah. So I have this gallon of this windshield washer fluid, and it's like knocking around in my car for a year and a half because they finally got smart and put gallon-sized reservoirs in cars.
Right.
It's a 2002 Ford Focus. And between oil changes, it never empties, so I never actually was prompted to put fluid in. So
yeah.
I'm sitting out the car, I'm sick of seeing this thing, and I open the hood, and right there in front is this nice, clear, kind of white plastic
jug.
Jug, and so I top it off.
Sure.
And I throw the rest of the thing away, and a couple of days later, I happen to check the oil, and I'm looking under there, and over there is this cap with a little windshield washer fluid symbol on it, and it's connected to this long pipe and down
underneath there. And you said, I didn't put the stuff in there.
No, I put it over there.
Yeah, why do they have two of these?
Wow, those guys at Ford are really thinking. They put two windshield washer reservoirs. Yeah, kind
of
balance things out.
Yeah, yeah.
So how long ago did you do this?
Christmas Eve Day.
How much of it did you put in, like a quart?
Half a gallon.
And what remedy did you apply?
None.
Willful ignorance.
Oh, willful ignorance. So you've done nothing. I mean, you just put the stuff in there, and you didn't, at this point, you didn't take the bottle out, you didn't drain the stuff out?
You know, I looked at the label. The stuff is the thing that keeps it from freezing is ethylene glycol.
Yeah, it's, I don't think that you did anything terrible.
It isn't terrible.
And what else is in there is soap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that troubles me.
Well, you'll have a nice, clean cooling system.
But you might get bubbles. And bubbles are not good.
Oh.
Yeah, well, but it's been since Christmas, and you've driven back and forth from Iowa City to Minneapolis many times.
A couple of times, yeah. I mean, it hasn't been any problems. It's not running particularly hot or anything.
Well, here's what I would do. I mean, it's entirely possible that most of what you put in that bottle is still in there. You know, and hasn't found its way into the radiator.
Right.
So at the very least, you could take that bottle out and dump that stuff and wash the bottle out. And I think that's all I would do.
Take the bottle out.
Yeah. All right, if you can't do that.
If you can't do that, you get a piece of hose.
Siphon it out.
And you siphon it out.
You siphon it out.
Okay.
And empty it as much as you can. All of it would be nice.
Just top it off or just leave the reservoir empty?
No, I would then top it off,
with like antifreeze.
With the right stuff.
Yeah, like 50-50?
Yeah, well, you can put in straight antifreeze.
Okay.
Clean this thing out, put some fresh stuff in there, and don't worry about it.
Okay.
And don't call back. See,
that's when the bubbles start coming out of the tailpipe.
Yeah, when bubbles start coming out of the tailpipe, call us. See you later.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why are we laughing?
Because it wasn't my fault because he put the stuff into 1-888
as long as he's healthy.
Exactly, and he didn't do any damage. He's all right. He, you know, if any damage,
we hope.
If any damage was done, it was done long before he called us.
And
so,
there's nothing he can do about it now anyway.
Or that we could do about it.
No,
I don't think the stuff penetrated his system enough. And even if it did, I don't think it would have done any damage. I think he's okay. Maybe.
Except for the bubbles.
Except for the bubbles. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Wendy from Burlington, Vermont.
Hi, Wendy.
Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, home of the University of Vermont.
Exactly. I go to school there. That's right.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Are you a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior?
No, I'm a master's student.
Oh, really? A grad student.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you trying to master?
I'm trying to master speech and language therapy.
We might be able to use you.
Well, once I master it, I haven't quite done that yet.
Okay. What's up, Wendy?
Well, my fiance, Jonathan, has a 2003 Volkswagen Golf TDI.
Okay.
It's a stick shift car. And he drives it just fine, no problem. But several times when I've driven it, I've been in the middle of shifting gears. And as I'm shifting gears, the clutch pedal gets stuck down in the depressed position, all the way down.
Oh.
So far down that I can't get it to come back up. And simultaneously, the stick gets stuck in a geared position.
In a what position?
In a geared position.
So it's in gear.
It's in gear.
Yeah.
And
you can't get it out.
And I can't get it out. So I can't move the stick out of gear, and I can't get the clutch off the floor. Oh. And the problem is I'm quite short. I'm 5'1". And in order to reach the clutch pedal, I actually have to stop the car and get out of the car and use my hand to lift the clutch pedal up off the floor of the car. And it's pretty embarrassing. And the worst was when it happened last, maybe 2 weeks ago, with my fiancé's father in the car.
Oh.
Three times in the course of a little trip to the train station. It was very embarrassing.
But this never happens to your fiancé?
It never happens to my fiancé.
Huh?
And he does press the clutch down all the way when he's driving.
Well, if anyone's not going to be able to press it down all the way, it's more likely to be you.
That's right.
But when it is in this position,
yes,
the car won't move.
Well, the car thinks that it's in neutral at this point. So even though the stick is in, let's say, second gear,
yeah,
the car acts as though it's in neutral. So it's just sliding to a stop. And I'm pressing on the brake.
So you're pressing on the brake, and you'll come to a stop. It's just as if, even though you're not stepping on the pedal, in fact, you're trying to get it off the floor.
Yes.
But it's just as if you are stepping on the pedal.
Precisely.
And so you can, in fact, sit there with the transmission in gear.
Yes.
And
with the car idling.
With the car idling, just like you would at a stoplight, for example.
That's right. And in fact, it's always happened. I've been thinking about this. It's always happened when I am coming to a stop, like, you know, as I'm approaching a stoplight.
Okay, but there's one thing that you said that that doesn't jibe. And that is that you said it's in gear and you can't get it out?
Right.
Yeah, we're struggling with that one.
Oh, meaning
that. Oh, we're
that.
Struggling with the whole question, Ashley, but we're especially struggling. I mean, I think that even though the pedal is all the way down, the clutch is not 100% disengaged.
That makes sense.
And that would explain why you can't get it out of gear.
That's right.
Because
that's
if you push the pedal down 3/4 of the way, it might be enough to, in fact, allow you to stop moving without putting the clutch further down to the floor, but engage just enough so that you can't pull. If you pull this thing out of gear, it'll come out if you force it.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, I think we're in agreement, my brother and I, that this has to do with the clutch and not the transmission.
Right.
And neither of us can figure out why it happens to you and not your fiancé.
I think it is happening to him, and he's messing with you.
And, maybe.
And also, why haven't you taken it back to the dealer?
You haven't told your fiancé that this happens to you, huh?
Oh, no, I did tell him. And in fact, I told him I was concerned that his father would think that he was marrying a ditz.
Yeah.
You know, this woman who can't drive
and
a car.
And he said, I already told him.
And he agrees you're cute. And that's it.
I'll take what I can get, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your
Well,
help,
I'm trying to figure
Wait,
out,
don't
though.
Go away yet. We're not.
I'm not going away.
We're not done with you yet. Did we say you could get off the witness stand?
Absolutely not. Here I am.
Well, here's what I think is happening.
Okay.
I think it is your fault.
Of course.
I think what's happening is somehow or another you are fooling the self-adjusting mechanism and making it misbehave by not stepping all the way. Even though you think you're stepping all the way down to the floor,
yeah,
I don't think you are.
Because I'm too short.
You're too short. You need to tie a wooden block to that pedal. Yeah, no, I think that's what's happening. I don't think there's anything wrong with the car at this point. I think you're not stepping all the way down, and I think if you figure out how to do that without endangering people, then the problem's going to go away.
Or endangering my own reputation with my future father-in-law.
That too.
Yeah, that too.
Good luck, Wendy.
I mean,
Thank you so much.
If you did use a block on the pedal.
Really?
That would work, and your fiancé could remove the block if you put it on there with elastics or something.
Well, you could. There are actually things called pedal extenders, which you can have put on at the dealership. You know, and they can come off, so both of you can drive the car.
Okay, good.
You know, but it's a little bit better than putting a wooden block with rubber bands.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit safer than that, so I don't think we'd recommend that. But they're bona fide pedal extenders. I mean, people...
And not that we haven't driven with a rope, because we have.
We have. But we'll save that for another show.
The rope does work.
Okay, great.
See you, Wendy.
I really appreciate the advice. Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, I think it's time for us to take a little break, don't you?
Already? I don't need a break, do you?
Well, I do, actually. I need a little time to put the finishing touches on the new puzzler.
Oh, really? You need time to boil it down to its purest essence? Separate the wheat from the chaff?
No, I need time to put in more chaff, actually. Anyway, we'll be back with more of your calls and a brand new puzzler, so please stay tuned.
Dynaflow. You know Dynaflow.
You know I really gotta go. Take me fast, take me slow, take me where I gotta go, Dino Flow.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Oh, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And this was submitted. Let me just look at the date on this. Oh, this isn't bad.
What?
October 2003.
you're catching up.
By Wayne Newman. Remember he sang the Dunk
yeah.
of Shame?
I remember him.
Anyway, here we go. It was a dark and foggy night. The thick fog surrendered only to the headlights of a tow truck illuminating a barn where a 60-odd-year-old car had sat for the last 20 years. Next to the car stood the driver of the truck and a little old gray-haired lady. "Look," said the driver, "you should pay me to tow this piece of junk out of here, but since I like you and it's late, I'll give you what you're asking for it." He knew the old car was worth 10 times her price. The old woman's bony fingers reached into her apron and pulled out the signed title. Her voice cracked. "Before I give you this, I must tell you my husband died working on this old car some 20 years ago. He loved this car and he told me never to sell it. And some say his spirit still dwells within."
Oh, wow, this is getting better by the minute.
"But I need the money." "Oh, don't you worry about me," laughed the tow truck driver. "I don't believe in that nonsense."
Yeah.
"You've been warned," said the old woman. Just then a coyote howled in the distance.
Oof.
The tow truck driver hastily hitched up the old car before she could change her mind and drove down the pothole-ridden driveway. When he pulled onto the deserted country road, he noticed a light piercing through the back window of the tow truck cab. Looking in the rearview mirror, he saw the headlights on the car were on.
What?
How could this be? He thought. Could the old battery still have power after 20 years? More than a little nervous, he pulled over so he could disconnect the battery. As he walked back to the car, he noticed the headlights were, in fact, off. He shook his head. He opened the hood.
There was no battery.
The battery was already disconnected. What? That's impossible. A loud scream came from behind. He turned around quickly to shine his flashlight on an owl perched in a tree. A dead tree. It's getting eerier by the minute.
It's getting eerier. I know the answer already.
It must be by imagination, he thought. He jumped back in the truck and started back down the dark road, only to find the headlights of the car once again illuminating the cab. He pulled over this time to turn off the light switch. Again, the lights went out. When he tried to open the driver's door of the old car, he found it was locked. But with his flashlight, he could see that the passenger door was unlocked. He climbed in the passenger side. It was then that he figured out why the lights were on.
Mm-hmm.
Why were the lights on? Now, if you think you know the answer,
I do.
Write it on the back of a hand-carved Mario Beauregard Model TS arch-top electric acoustic guitar in sunburst with Sitka spruce top, flamed maple back and sides, five-piece rock maple neck, and top-mounted Kent Armstrong humbucker pickup, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com. If you have a question right now about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Keith from Boulder, Colorado.
What's up?
I've got a 3/4-ton Dodge Ram pickup.
Whoa.
And I'm not really calling about that, but the trailer that I tow with this truck. And on the top of the gooseneck of this trailer, I have an electric winch mounted.
Does the trailer have electric brakes?
It does.
Oh, thought so.
Okay.
Never mind.
Don't we screen these calls? You know,
so we have an electric winch.
Wait a minute. I just want to preface everything, you know. Neither one of us has ever seen one of these. Neither one of us has ever pulled a trailer. Neither one of us
has operated a winch.
But what can we help you with, Keith?
Well, the other day I was pulling a really big tree trunk, And by the way, this is
this for recreation, or is this like
you just like drag tree trunks down the road?
What don't you?
What's this all about? Well, he lives in Boulder.
Yeah,
well,
instead of jogging in Boulder,
they drag. All right.
Well, I'm a wood turner, so I'm getting material to make wooden bowls out of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you go to wherever these things are, you hook up the winch, and you start dragging it onto the trailer?
Yes. And as the second piece is coming up, I'm starting to lose power. I just get it on to the point where I can kind of rotate it and roll it the rest of the way on. And then I go to change batteries because I bring a spare with me.
Standard 12-volt automotive battery.
It's actually a marine battery because it's a deeper charge.
Okay.
I find that the negative terminal has melted all the way into the case of the battery.
Oh.
There's just like a bolt sticking out. And so my question is, why did that happen? And how do I prevent that from happening again?
I don't know why it happened, but you deserved it.
You did, probably. What kind of a tree is this that you were hauling? What kind of a...
Was it walnut?
No, it was elm.
A big old elm tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though we have already told you we've never operated a winch, we've never even seen a marine battery.
But we do know...
We don't know anything about trailers.
Or electricity.
Or electricity. You'd like to know what we think.
Well, I think...
Why not?
He's never stopped us before, nor even slowed us down. No, I think you had a bad connection there at the negative terminal, and you were getting arcing.
Hmm.
Was there anything unusual about this particular stump that you were dragging?
It was a pretty heavy one.
It was bigger than the average stump. You do know
that
electric motors will draw
as much as you ask.
As much current as they need.
If you ask the battery and you say, I want 20 amps, it says, sure. I want 120. Why not? I want 1,000. It says, I'll do my best. And you were dragging this huge stump, and you were sucking some serious amps out of that battery, which it was more than happy to do, and it gave up its life for that tree stump, and it melted.
How valiant.
Prince.
Huh.
Yeah,
no, that's absolutely what happened.
There's enough heat generated from that energy transfer that melted that whole lead post.
Oh, you bet,
the plastic battery.
Yeah, you need.
Have you ever stuck your finger in a lamp socket?
Well, I've got curly hair, but no.
So do I, and that's how I got it.
Well, you need no. One of my guys one day, when we do oil changes on cars, we have a dispenser. You know, we have a big tank of oil. And you go over, it's got a pump on it, you go over and you put 4 or 5 quarts or whatever into this dispenser, which you then take to the car, and you rest the whatchamahooses, the container, on the engine. And then you can actually flip the little switch and you can go do something else.
One day put
this thing on the positive terminal of the battery. Oh, he didn't put it there, but it's kind of slid and hit the thing. And within about 3 minutes, it had set this thing on fire. It had melted it to the extent that it actually reached the ignition point of the oil, which had to be 800 degrees, and set it on fire. So that to give you some idea of the enormous energy that's in a 12-volt car or marine battery.
Yeah.
Well, is there a way of preventing that from happening?
Sure. I mean, I would ask the guy to put between the battery and ground or something...
A fusible link. See, the winch motor should have some kind of a thermal protector so that if the thing gets too hot, if it draws too much current, it just trips the thing like a lot of motors have, and the motor will stop working. It'll prevent you from melting the motor, melting the battery, and yourself.
Okay.
But so if you don't have that, maybe they can wire something in, which means you'll have to go for smaller stumps.
Well, okay.
There's and if you need to pieces. Go, if you find that real blockbuster stump, you just take the thing out of the circuit.
But remember, the battery is like a nice dog and will do whatever you ask it to do, even if it's going to kill him.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome, Keith. See you later.
Good
bye-bye.
Luck, man.
Bye-bye.
Send us a bowl.
Yeah.
You got it.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
On second thought, I don't want a bowl.
What do you want? Just the stump. Send him the whole stump.
Mail it.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cindy in Boca Raton, Florida.
Hi,
Boca
Cindy.
Raton, is it Cindy with two I's or one?
Oh, just one. I'm pretty old-fashioned.
And a Y at the end.
What, are you a Cyclops, one eye?
Well, hi.
Are you retired?
No.
What are you doing living in Boca?
Actually, I'm taking care of my mom.
She's retired.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Actually, that's part of the reason why I'm calling.
Yeah?
My mom became disabled a few years ago, and we bought a beautiful, pearly white 1999 Chrysler Town & Country minivan with a wheelchair ramp conversion.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. The woman who takes care of my mom during the day, she is a motherly Haitian woman with a heart of gold, the patience of a saint, but she keeps bumping and dinging this van, and she has an uncanny knack for bumping things that ought not be bumped.
Like baby carriages and stuff? All right, so this nice lady, what's her name?
Her name is Carlene.
Carlene, and she keeps bumping into things.
Well, yeah. She's a wonderful nurse, but she's the world's worst driver. Last week, she took my mom to the beach, and on their way back, they stopped at one of those places that sells bird baths and garden gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
And she backed into a $28,000 sculpture and knocked it over onto the chain link fence. Now, the sculpture is okay.
Oh, it is. Lucky for you.
We owe some money to get a crane to lift it up and to fix the chain link fence and all that.
Yeah, but that's... We know a guy who has a winch.
I could use a winch.
He could straighten that up for you.
Oh, man. Where was he when I needed him?
In Boulder. So you want to get her a different vehicle?
No,
the vehicle's perfect, huh?
We want to keep the van.
Yeah.
We want to keep the nurse. We want to have everybody live to their next birthdays, and we don't want to go broke.
Does Carlene have a car of her own?
Well, she drove a regular car until recently, and now she has an SUV that rides kind of high, and the van rides kind of low, and that's part of where we're getting into trouble.
No, that's not why we're getting into trouble.
Well, and we got her some glasses, so she needed glasses, and now she has them, and she wears them.
Glasses are good, but they... Yeah.
We've had this van for 2 years.
Yeah.
It leaves the garage maybe once a week.
Oh.
They've had at least 5 accidents.
In 2 years.
So we're saying that, you know, one in every 20 times the van leaves the garage, something happens.
Well, here's one possibility.
Okay.
Maybe Carlene is just nervous driving it with your mother in the car. So maybe you would try to get her to drive this thing instead of her car.
Oh, get more practice.
Oh. Let's
get more practice.
Okay, yeah, that could be scary.
She may total it.
And when she does, I would suggest maybe you get a Honda Odyssey.
Okay.
Which is smaller.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with the size of the thing. I mean, Carlene is just one of those drivers.
Yeah, I think
we have a sister like that.
Oh, dear.
She makes claims that trees jump out in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
She had an accident on one of the main drags of Cambridge one time on Massachusetts Avenue where somehow she claimed that the guy on the other side of a divided street hit her.
Well, there was a cement barrier.
Cement barrier between, and she claims that was the car levitated? I don't know.
And then miraculously wound up back on his side of the division.
Yeah. You
know, so we don't know.
I mean, Carlene may be Lucille.
Yeah.
In which case, I mean, we gave up on her a long time ago.
But she's doing a lot better, and she is available if Carlene doesn't pan out.
If Carlene doesn't pan out, you're going to have Lucille.
Oh, no, that's just not possible. I mean, there's a big bond here. I'm wondering if there's, like, rubber cones in a parking lot or there's some sort of, like, remedial driver's re-education.
Well, one alternative is to hire a professional driver. I'm sure there's some agency in Florida that will make a driver available to you, someone who would never put a scratch in the thing
right. And
wouldn't back into a $28,000 garden sculpture.
Right. And he would be insured for anything like that. And Carlene could sit with your mother in the back and they could play pinochle. But I do like the other idea. Since she only drives the thing once a week and probably not for very long, it wouldn't be a bad idea to give her more practice with it. I mean, if you can sacrifice the vehicle, let her drive it every day. Tell her to take it home with her every day for a couple of weeks, and she'll get used to it.
But I'll tell you, before you give her the town and country to drive, I wouldn't do it until you've done a careful examination of her car.
Yeah.
See how many dents it has in it.
Well, I'm happy that you found someone who loves your mother so much. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just awesome in just about every other way. Although I should add that Carlene kind of drops things around the house a fair bit, too.
Yeah, see, that's why I say Carlene is a flake.
She's a klutz.
And people are different, and people don't all have the same skills. And you're not as sweet as Carlene, but you're a better driver.
Not by much, I have to confess.
And I'm neither. I'm not sweet, and I'm a lousy driver, too.
Yes.
We all have our pluses, right, and our minuses.
And some have more minuses than others. Good luck, Cindy.
Some of us
all
have
right,
just
well, thank
big
you.
Zeros.
We're gonna need it, so,
thanks for calling.
Good thoughts for us.
We shall.
We will.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Mystic Lake, flank steak, spice cake, stewed steak, frosted flake, chocolate shake, clam bake, and coffee break, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. The manager of our employee refrigerator is Carmen Dating. Our staff fact checker is Neera Nuff. Tom's front yard designer is Roxanne Debris. Our program transcriber is Diana Boredom. Our new truck reviewer is the big new rig. Our staff dietitian is Arlene Menu. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the disappointed American Idol candidates in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1113, putter through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, it's a major anniversary.
Yeah, I mean, this week we celebrate, ready for this?
Yeah.
The 40th anniversary of everybody's favorite exploding subcompact, the Ford Pinto.
Yeah, great car.
And all week at cartalk.com, we take a trip down exploding memory lane with tributes and memories of the little car that could.
Could what?
Boom! Check out our celebration of the Pinto all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the space shuttle begs to leave the Earth's orbit just one more time, whenever we say it, this is NPR.